This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of different topics of what's going on and things of interest in the Umpqua Valley. Periodically, we check in with Logan Bennett, an agent with the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Kyle. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Well, we've got a lot of things to cover. You've got a lot of different events coming up. We're going to go over some of that and talk about maybe things coming up further up the road as well. I guess one of the things for people, whether they are small farmers right now or people with a couple acres maybe where they just do a small amount of gardening or things like that, what are some of the things that are going on now that we're just a couple weeks away from winter, as much as I hate to say that?
Right. Yeah. Well, for the most part, right now is kind of a time to step back from either the farm or the garden, depending on the crop you're growing, and think about maybe cleaning up the field a little bit or cleaning up your garden a little bit. That could be laying down mulch if you were doing a cover crop. Hopefully that's already been planted. Making sure that we're not leaving behind any disease material, cleaning up your tools, cleaning up your machines, that kind of stuff. And that's really a good use for December. A lot of people feel like right now is really a good time to prune, but I would urge you to wait a little bit longer. Typically, we're looking at the middle of January really to start pruning nowadays.
Now, does that depend on the plant, though?
It certainly does. There's a difference, obviously, in things like fruit trees and grapes, but for the most part, we're too early, really, to start pruning anything right now. If you have started pruning, don't panic. Things will be all right. They're plants, and they do grow back, but really, the optimum time to start pruning is a little bit later.
Now, does that apply to your typical yard plant?
Yeah, for the most part. There are some things, for example, hazelnuts. They typically get pruned earlier than, for example, an apple or a grape would, but for most of us that have fruit trees, or working with maybe even blueberries, something like that, we want to wait just a little bit longer.
And, of course, the temptation is to do it sooner. Sometimes people worry about waiting too long and then, early next year, maybe March or something, seeing new growth and then realizing maybe they were too late.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. So there is really kind of a pruning window, and it's that kind of January up until late February, usually. Some plants you can get away with doing like really early March, like the 1st of March. But our goal here is to prune before we have a lot of sap flowing and before we start seeing bud development and bud break.
And you mentioned cover crops. Not everybody understands sort of the science and the why of that.
Great point. So a cover crop would be something that we would have planted probably back in October. And ideally it's a mix of a cereal and then some kind of nitrogen-fixing plant that covers the soil and helps it from eroding and may even add some nutrition when you go to flail it back in or when you go to till it back in.
So a lot to keep in mind now as you as we work our way through this time of year. You've got a lot of events coming up, including one tomorrow.
Yeah. I actually have one tomorrow and one today, but tomorrow's small farm event is really exciting. It's something that we call Before You Buy Rural Land. We kind of piloted this program last year. It's a statewide event. We've got extension agents from all over Oregon working on this, and it's sort of a really comprehensive class on before you buy land to farm on, here are the things you should consider.
And tell us more about that. I mean, what are some of the things that people should consider that maybe they don't?
Yeah, so for me, my part is covering soil capability. I'm a soils nerd, as everybody knows by now. And so I'll be talking about the different kinds of soil, what they're good for, how you can farm on them, and if it's something that you maybe not you wouldn't be able to farm on. But we'll also be covering water rights, land use, septic systems, kind of the whole gambit introductory on how a farmland should function and what you should look at before buying it.
And I'm kind of like a real estate geek or nerd or whatever, but that applies to residential property. One of the things when you're talking about a farm, even a small farm, is your investment is usually considerably higher than your typical middle-class house. And if you're going to you know, think about that kind of long-term outlay, you really need to be prepared ahead of time so you don't make an investment you're going to regret later.
Definitely. Making those decisions before you buy the land and having sort of a business plan or even just knowing what you're growing on is really important. There's different kinds of soil and different kinds of water rights that could really enhance or limit your capability to farm on a piece of land.
And while sometimes you can do soil amendments and do different things to improve your chances, sometimes people try to do things on land that wasn't meant for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Soil is pretty hard to change on a broad spectrum. You can definitely amend a little bit where you're at, but it's really hard to grow plants on ground that really isn't meant for it. And there's just real brief, there's three particulates in soil, sand, silt, and clay. And if you've got something that's super clayey, it can be really hard to grow a lot of different crops. If you've got something that's too sandy, it can be hard to keep fertilizer in the ground. And we'll go into that in more detail tomorrow night, but it can get really difficult if you're growing on the wrong kind of soil.
Now, is this a class, something people can still sign up for?
Absolutely. So this is online, so there's no registration limit, and you can join from home if you want. So it's at 5:30, and it goes till 7:30. And if I remember correctly, registrations are still open.
All right, very good. You mentioned having something tonight.
Yeah, so I started a 4-H club. It's called the Junior Master Gardener Program. And we're
in your spare time.
In my spare time. And we're having our first meeting tonight, so I'm super excited. Some master gardeners approached me and said that they wanted to help educate youth into agriculture, and this seemed like a great way to do it.
So how do people find out more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this meeting is going to be tonight at the Extension office, 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue. We're starting at 6 p.m. And if you've got a kiddo that might be interested in learning more about horticulture or agriculture, feel free to show up. We'll be going through kind of the basics of what a 4-H club looks like for horticulture, sort of the expectations, and how to get involved.
Now, after we get through the holidays, what do you have coming up then?
Yeah, so we're staying busy. In the small farms world, I'm really excited. I've been asked by a couple folks about having a dry farming class here. And just for folks to know what that means, dry farming is using very little irrigation, sometimes no irrigation. We're really relying on rainfall for the bulk of our water in this kind of system. And so we live in a drier climate than you would, for example, in the Willamette Valley. So the question is, can you dry farm here? If so, what can you grow and how does it work? And so we're bringing in an expert from campus, Lucas Nerbert. Really excited to have him come down. He's part of the Dry Farming Collaborative up on campus. And we'll be talking to a local farmer who is dry farming.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because while the distance isn't a lot, when you look at rainfall amounts, we are 25-30% less than Eugene.
Yeah, there's some serious climate differences between our valley and the Willamette Valley. So the Umpqua is drier, which does come with some benefits, right? We have a lot less disease pressure than you would in the Willamette Valley, but also access to rainfall is a lot lower.
What else is ahead?
Yeah. So in February, we're planning to do a beekeeping class. We did one last year with the Umpqua Valley Beekeepers, and it was really popular. We had a lot of folks show up, and so we've been hearing that folks want to see that again. And that's typically a 2 to 3 hour class, and we go over all the basics of beekeeping, from what kind of bees to use to how to pick the right gear.
And when's that going to be?
That's going to be in February. The date on that one is to be determined. We'll be posting that pretty soon here. That one will probably be at the Extension office, too.
Well, I know the last one, from what I heard, it was really buzzing with activity.
It really was.
I just had to say that. Okay. Let's talk about apple grafting.
Yeah. So last year we did an apple grafting class in March, and it turned out to be pretty popular. We were really excited to see all these apple trees that we helped people graft grow. I've been getting pictures all year of these apples producing leaves and getting bigger and that kind of thing. And so we're going to do it again. And this is a really fun class. We use a rootstock that's really designed to be used in a yard or a small farm so it doesn't get too huge. And then we'll have a bunch of different varieties of apples for folks to graft onto there, and we'll show you the process. We'll explain the process on how to take a scion, which is the part that produces the apples, and then we'll walk you from scion all the way to established tree.
Now, can people already register for that, or is that a ways ahead?
That one's going to be on March 29th, so we probably won't put that up until January, but keep that on your radar. It's coming up soon, and March gets here faster than you think.
All right. More with Logan Bennett in a moment when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 ahead the rest of the week. We've got Captain Edith Dye, maybe the Roseburg Salvation Army, talking about their effort for the holidays and more on tomorrow's program. Second District Congressman Cliff Bentz will join us on Inside Douglas County Thursday. And Sarah McGregor of Feeding Umpqua will be on Friday's program. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service talking about winter agricultural things that are going on. I know a big thing around here, you mentioned them a little earlier, is Master Gardeners.
Yeah. So our Master Gardener program just wrapped up training for 2024. We finished in November, but we're already looking towards next year. And one of the big things that we're getting ready to plan right now is spring into gardening. So spring into gardening, for folks who haven't been to it before, is one of our larger programs during the year. And we provide a set of classes that go from usually 9 a.m. to about 3:30 p.m. And we'll be offering all sorts of topics to teach folks. So this year, we're really excited. We've got some new things coming in. We'll be teaching a class on how to start microgreens in partnership with UC Veg. We'll be working with the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians to talk about some different traditional practices. There's some really cool things coming up this year that we're really excited about.
And this offers people kind of an opportunity to sort of customize your own learning experience.
Absolutely. So the way this program works is it's broken into different blocks of educational hours, so to say. And each of those blocks, there's going to be four classes available. So during this program, you'll have the ability to take four different classes on four different agricultural topics.
And you're kind of going in a direction that maybe people wouldn't expect. You're tied in with an emergency preparedness fair. Talk about that.
Yeah, so that one's really exciting. That one's going to be in January. This is coming up. And we're partnered with Douglas County to talk about all sorts of emergency preparedness topics. So for this, you're going to be able to come over and check it out at the OSU Extension Auditorium. So that's at our building again, 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue in Roseburg. And we're going to be going over all sorts of emergency preparedness topics. So what happens if there's a power outage, if there's a flood, wildfire, that kind of thing. We'll talk to you about how to make water potable. We'll talk about proper well care, rain collection and filtering, sanitary bathroom options if the plumbing's down. So there's going to be all sorts of topics there. And also, there's going to be a raffle, and we're going to be giving away prizes every 30 minutes.
Wow. Now, you know, one of the things about these emergencies, and I think the bigger ones have been since before you were here, but we had the Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse, whatever you want to call it, event several years ago. And in that case, there were people in the rural areas, many of them farmers, some not, but who didn't have power for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's where this really, I mean, it's one, you know, most people are annoyed when they don't have power for 5 minutes because the internet sometimes doesn't work. But when you talk about not having it for weeks on end, you really feel like you've, you know, you're living in another part of the world.
Yeah, and it can get dangerous sometimes, too, if you're without power. So the idea here would be that we get really familiar with what we can do to combat that, whether it's using generators or having a storage of food or whatever it is you need, just in case you don't have that power option. And I was going to mention that we're still seeing the effects of that. In some orchards, I still see where we can see where snow broke branches and changed the shape of trees permanently, that kind of stuff.
Well, and even over the summer, there were a number of times when we had some of the smaller active fires that Douglas Forest Protective Association and others were dealing with. And some of those would be in areas that were, you know, had still either not been cleaned up or there was damage that hadn't been noticed following that several years ago.
Yeah, and that's wildfire and agriculture are definitely connected, where we're talking about how to make sure to protect our crops, our livestock, and what to do after a wildfire, too. So that's definitely something that we should be aware of and not only be prepared for when it's happening and be able to look at what we do afterwards.
So what else is coming up you want to let people know about?
Yeah, so one of the main things that we've got coming up here soon is actually a program called QPR, and that stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. And this is a suicide awareness in agriculture, or for agricultural professionals. And we're going to be offering this about four times up until March, and it's going to be both in English and in Spanish.
And tell me more about what you're going to do there.
Yeah, so QPR can be taught in person or online. I think in the case of what we're doing this time, these are all going to be online. And these are trainings to help folks really kind of be aware of the signs of suicidal behavior and what to do in response to those.
And sometimes people, and certainly not always, but some people that are working in farm or ag are sometimes more isolated and have less people around them. If you're working out on a farm all day, you go back to where you live. You're not out there with, you know, a big office full of people and all of that. Sometimes some of those symptoms, some of those issues can kind of be hidden.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's not always, but it is not uncommon to be sort of isolated, especially if you're working on a large farm where you have a lot to do. There may be times when you're not seeing other folks for a while.
Wow. Well, that's an important topic, and again, one that you wouldn't always think about with what you do at Extension. Other things going on you want to let people know about?
Yeah, definitely, and thanks for letting me bring that up. I currently have a tentative 12-month schedule for 2025, but right now is the perfect time of year to let me know if there's something in farming or gardening that you want to have a class on. Right now, when I'm putting together my schedule, I'd be happy to add something in. So we have a few classes coming up that I didn't mention today that are specifically from farmers saying, we need to know more about this. And if there's something that you're interested in, feel free to reach out to me.
This has got to be, I know you have talked about how much you enjoy this, but it's like a combination of a job and a learning experience all rolled up in one.
Oh, absolutely. This is the best place for me to be in the world. I get to work with wonderful people, and I get to learn about things all the time. I was actually talking about that with the Farm Bureau the other day. I'd never birthed a lamb before this year, but one of my farmers called me up and said, hey, we're lambing right now, and we need help. Can you come help us out? And so that's what we did.
And that had to be a little daunting the first time.
Yeah, it definitely was. You want to make sure you do things right. We're talking about lives there, and we want to make sure that they're stewarded correctly. But it was also a lot of fun, you know, get to go out there and learn about this agricultural process. And at the end, there was a bunch of cute lambs running around.
Well, and, you know, as well, agriculture, and there's so many facets of it where it's unlike maybe a typical day job where timing is out of your control.
Absolutely. I don't know if I've ever had two days in a row that were the same thing since I got to Extension, and that's really quite fun. But you're also right. There's a calendar that has nothing to do with how I want to schedule it. It's just the way that agriculture works. And so I need to be prepared for that, whether it's we're looking at apples come May or June, or we're working with hazelnuts come January. It's kind of out of my control how that functions.
And do you have much chance to interact with other Extension agents around Oregon?
Yes. The really cool thing, or one of the really cool things about Extension, is that we have this large cooperative network of over 600 faculty members throughout the state, and that we get to work together on projects like this Before You Buy Rural Land that's going on tomorrow night. But also, what's really beneficial about that is if I have a small farm's topic that I don't necessarily know a lot about, I can reach out to this big network of folks that I work with. We had an example the other day. Somebody asked about cricket farming from Portland. Somebody was growing crickets specifically, and they wanted to know if any of us had any experience in that.
Why would you grow crickets?
They're big in the pet trade, and then also some folks grow crickets to sell for human food, too.
Interesting. Wow, that's not one I would have thought of either. So a lot going on with Extension throughout the year. As we wrap up, if people want to get connected, find out more information, how do they do that?
Absolutely. Feel free to drop by the office at 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue or shoot me an email at logan.bennett@oregonstate.edu.
All right, Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, and thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.